I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Good evening. Good place to be. God's been good to us. We got a good, comfortable place to come and worship in. And this morning, if you was here, we enjoyed a good one. If you wasn't here, you missed a good one. I was kind of had a fun experience about that morning service. It was my day to do the hallway and parking lot duty, and he'd like to walk me to death, walking back and forth, looking through that window and the doors to see what was going on. I could hear it all out there, and I just had to see it. Every time I get settled down, Joe, get back up. We're proud of you, Joe. Bless your heart. I just tickles me to death to see the Lord just bless you real good. I love to get a blessing from the Lord, but I also love to see somebody else get one. It's good. But this is Sunday night, and we're serving the same God that was here this morning. He can do the very same thing. He ain't worried about no Super Bowl, so neither am I. We'll enjoy our service here tonight. Choir will be singing about three songs here after a while, and you're going to enjoy them. We had a good choir practice this evening. Everything went well. Nobody got in no fights or nothing. Just had a real good time. God blessed us real good, and I appreciate that. I love going to church. That's one thing God blessed me with. He blessed me with a desire to go to church. One time, I'd lost that. I let the devil defeat me out of that, and I said, Lord, just give me a little bit of that back. He just blessed me all over with it. I just can't hardly wait from one time to the other to get back. I'm thankful for that. That ain't nothing that I've done. It's what God's done for me. So that's... let's just get right into service tonight. And if you got a prayer or somebody that you need to pray for, we're going to go ahead right now and take some prayer requests. And if you got a testimony right now, and one that if it's on your heart to testify now, you better do it, because you might get up a half hour from now and it might not be there. Do it when the Lord's telling you to do it. Anybody have a testimony before you take prayer requests? All right, does anybody have it? We're going to all gather up front at once to and pray here after a while, but There's a lot going on that needs to be prayed for, and we need to pray about it. So after we get all that done, I want to turn this choir loose, and y'all just pray for them real hard that the Lord will just bless them real good. And if he blesses the choir real good, it's going to bless you real good. So anybody have any prayer requests before we go any further? Remember Barbara Dye. She was getting along fairly good, but she had some more problems happen. I guess the day before yesterday, wasn't it, Sharon? Or yesterday. And she's having, pray for her. I don't know all the details, but her and her family needs her prayers real bad. Remember them, Barbara and Herb and their family. Anyone else?
Remember my sister, Dana, they moved her a step down. They moved her out of ICU and moved her a step down. But she still needs her prayer.
I'd like to remember my brother, Steve. He's really having some serious back problems. It's really bothering him.
Still remember Jeremy and Jess and the boys. They started supervised visits with the biological behavioral
problems with the two
older boys,
and creating some
issues
and a lot of
confusion. So just remember that whole situation.
Sure.
Remember Dan, Dana.
Remember
Dan.
Okay.
She's
yeah.
Got some problems with feet.
Still remember my nephew. Blood counts were not good enough for him to have his treatment here. He was supposed to have one more here before he goes to Johns Hopkins. But his counts were not good enough for him to have it. So now he'll have lab work again in the morning. And he's got to get that last treatment here before he can go to Johns Hopkins.
Remember a friend of mine with his name is James.
Okay.
He will be some prayer. He stopped me Saturday on the way to the car, and he talked to his brother. He's going through a trial, and he said about a month ago, he's about 8 hours, his whole life got turned upside down, and has to lose his marriage. And his name's James, he's a Christian, and he's a brother that's suffering.
Anyone else? Anyone that wants to, come on up front and we'll pray. And I'm sure we all have unspoken requests. The Lord knows all about them. If you want to come up front, you come right on up. Eddie Gibson, lead us out in prayer if you would, buddy.
Thank you.
turn the choir loose anytime during the service while they're singing. You got a testimony?
I got to say something.
Bless you, Joe.
Church. I didn't like it. I hated it. And I couldn't walk home.
said the Lord, he couldn't do nothing about the past and his life in the past. That's gone. Made me think of this. I can't remember if it was Shirley Hammocks or old man Fred Baldwin said this. I think it was Fred. He said after he was saved, the devil got on him and told him just as well to quit and down the road later, start all over again. He said, I said, Lord, I know I ain't done very good. I'm just going to start right here and go on. Don't quit and go back. Just start where I'm at, then go. He said, Lord, just start blessing me from there. So that's what we got to do. We'll make mistakes. Things will happen. The devil will tell you anything. Just start where you're at and go right on that. Don't step back. All right, Chris, I'm going to turn you loose.
Black book first.
Yeah.
because it is, it does take work. I mean, you just can't just like, oh, I'm going to do this. You know, it takes work. And so I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Appreciate you.
We kind of appreciate you guys. Anybody got anything to say?
Page 213, 213. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurn, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
Donnie.
I forgot something. The sound operator. Steve, I apologize. I get so upset when people forget y'all when I turn around and get my
phone. Donnie, would you pray for Brother?
Good evening. All right. Try to figure out what God wants us to hear tonight. But, you know, he says not to fear for what we're going to say, but just to get up and he's going to give us the words to say. So we'll trust in him tonight. Right about now, there's a great battle going on. Two sides battling, giving it all they've got, and they're gonna do everything they can to win each side, and they're going to practice, and they're going to get ready, they're going to prepare, and there's a great battle that's going on, and there's got to be one winner. There's got to be one winner.
And it sounds like I'm talking about the Super Bowl. That's what I meant to sound like I was talking about. But there's a great battle going on right now. And it's the only battle that's going on. And I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. Everything boils down to this. I mean, this battle, it's ongoing. And the thing is, a lot of people don't know. They don't realize that it is a great battle. But you know, we're seeing a great divide in our country. And right now, it's very divided. If you can't see it, then, I'd like to have what you're taking, because it's really obvious. And it's terrible. It's terrible. But people are very divided right now. And, you can just see it on TV. This group will have a big march. And then the other side, a couple days later, will have a big march. And then there's this side and that side. And so there are divisions. And it seems like now, more than ever, there is a division within our country. And people will tell you it's political. They'll tell you that it's about this policy or that policy. But make no mistake, it's not. It all boils down to the same battle that's been going on forever, the battle between good and evil. And it seems sometimes like it's different things that are battling, but when you peel away everything, it boils down to what's right and what's wrong. And it really does. And so this battle has been going on forever. It's been going on forever. It just takes on different forms. You know, they say like in the Middle East, the battle there in the Middle East has been going on. But it's all about right and wrong too. It's all about right and wrong. So we're witnessing that, and sometimes it gets more heated and more, it all goes down, and it all goes down to that one great battle, that good versus evil. And, like right now in America, there's two sides, and there's those that believe one way, and there's those others that believe the other way. And if you don't think it's a spiritual battle, then you're not looking close enough, because there's a whole group of people think that they can abort people, that they can abort babies. And that's, they'll say, well, that's a policy thing, but it's not. It's a right and wrong thing, and we need to know. And it's a lack of fear. It's a lack of fear of God that certain people can look at a life and say, well, it doesn't matter what God thinks about that life, but it's what certain people think about that life, and we get to choose. And that's a scary place when we're, as a society, when we're saying that people get to choose who lives and who dies. And it's been put in such a way in such a way over the years that many people don't talk about it. Many people put it aside because, it's one of those places where if you talk about it, then you're being impolite, or it's one of those things where it's been hidden so that people don't see what the big picture is. But when you boil it down, it's people saying that a life of someone else is up to them. And there is no fear of God in that situation. There is no fear of, hey, wait a minute, what does God think about this? And also in other areas, there's, about what God says about marriage and about people. There are groups, there are churches that are just saying, let's go ahead and amend this. For today, for the present day, let's go ahead and let's have a meeting and let's decide whether or not, with no regard as to what God originally meant for it. And that's a scary thing when people are starting to rewrite what God has written. And so what we have, like I said, people deciding who lives and dies, and people deciding who does this and who does that, irregardless of what God's word says. And that is a spiritual battle. That's not political. That is spiritual. And so what we find is that we're often fooled by thinking that we're either in this category, Republican, or this category, Democrat, or this category, whatever it might be, whether you say you're a conservative or whether you say you're a liberal and all these things. Well, we get caught in putting ourselves in those little things, but really those all boil down to a bigger division, and that's either whether you're right on the right side or whether you're on the wrong side, whether you're on godly side or whether you're on Satan's side. So we're witnessing a great division within our land, and there are those who have no fear. They have no fear that there is a God and that he is a God of wrath. And so, but I wanted just several things to look at. Joel chapter 3, verse 14 says this, Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So if we have this great battle that's going on, Ephesians said it like this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, like I said, we always look at people. We think, hey, we're going against these people. Our person is this guy, and he's going against their person, which is that guy. And that's not how it is, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we're not wrestling against a person. We're wrestling against the forces of Satan. And we're not fighting for a person. We're fighting for our God. And so that's what it boils down to. We get tricked all the time. I guess that's what we're trying to say tonight, is that we get tricked into saying that we're in this category or that category. But it all boils down to right or wrong. Right or wrong. You see, when Moses was leading the people out of Israel, and he went up on the mountain, they made a decision right there while he was gone. Some of them made a decision to worship the calf. And I talked about it a couple weeks ago. They made it right on the spot, and then they said, hey, this is the calf, this is the God that brought us out, after they had made it. And so there was a division among them. And it wasn't them deciding whether a calf was right or a God was right, or whether the people who made it made the calf was right or Moses was right. It boiled down to whether they were going to follow God or follow Satan. And that's what it all boils down to. No matter what era of the history of the world, no matter what topic, no matter what it is, it all boils down to what's right and wrong. And we need to know that is a great battle that's going on. There are less people in America today who believe in God. Less people. The least amount of people that has been, since they've been asking the question, the least amount of people that believe in God. So that means that the people who do believe in God, the amount of people has gone down. There it is. There's the battle between good and evil right there. And there are multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. But there's not a lack of urgency. You see, if less people believe in God, then less people believe that there's a battle. If less people believe in God, then less people believe that there's punishment. If less people believe in God, then less people believe that there is such a thing as sin. And so there's this belief that there's nothing going on at all, and that we should all just do what we want, and it's going to work out. And there's a belief that we see things on the micro level, that it's just me against that person. But there isn't the widespread belief that there is a great battle going on between the principalities of darkness. And so what we want to talk about tonight are the multitudes that are in the valley of decision. These are people that you and I love. These are people that we know. These are people that we want to reach, because we know what it is. We know how God is. We know what his word says. And yet there are people that we love and that we know who are in the valley of decision. And so for them, we look. But I want to go to John. Let's see. John chapter 7, verse 14, just to show you. Let's see. John chapter 7, verse 12, it says this, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, talking about Jesus, because he was at the feast in Jerusalem. It says, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man. Others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So you see, even then they had a division among the people. They either said, they didn't, you know, it wasn't like he's either this or that. It was like he's either good or he's evil. He's either deceiving everybody, or he is a great man. And so that division has not left us. It's the same division that's today. It's the same division, because there are those who follow God, follow Jesus, and say that he is the greatest that we know. And then there are those who say that he just deceives people into thinking certain things. Then you turn the page, and you go, and let's see. I meant to circle these, but Okay, I'm not going to be able to find it. But let me get into what I want to get into, because I want to concentrate on the multitudes that are in the Valley of Decision. Those are the people we're trying to reach. And we got to look at it as this great battle. And so I want to kind of compare that to the battle that's going on right now, the Super Bowl, where there's these two sides that are going at it. First thing I want you to know is that this battle is for souls. Like I said, those multitudes that are in the Valley of Decision, this battle is for them. Okay, so we know what we know. We know what we believe. And there are those who think they know what they believe. But our job is to try to get them and to try to convert them into seeing God's way, to try to convince them to follow the God that we serve, to try to get them to see the world the way that we see it, and in so doing that they may reach salvation. So the goal is not to destroy those people. But number one, you have to know your own plays. Whenever they go to play the game tonight, they're going to be studying. They've been studying those plays. They've been practicing those plays. They have been going over them over and over and over so that they know them in their sleep. When their leader, when their quarterback calls out a play, then they all should know it, and they should know where to go and what their role is in that situation. And so we as Christians, if we're going to win people, we need to know the plays. We need to know God's word. We need to hide it in our heart. We need to know our role, what we're supposed to be doing in God's plan, where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. What are our strengths? Because if you're fast, and you shouldn't be on the line blocking, but you should be out there ready to catch a pass, or you should be out there ready to run. If you're big, then you shouldn't be out there lined up at wide receiver. You should be there on the line ready to block. And so we need to know, as Christians, what is our strength? Where does God want us? What place does He want us in? Maybe He wants us in a different location. Maybe He wants us to follow and to do that role, to play that role that He would have us to play. But we need to know our plays. We need to know what it is that God's Word says, so that when the time comes, we can act it out and we can show ourselves approved. So we need to know what it is, everything that God's Word says. What is the story? What is it that Jesus came to do? What is it that Jesus said? What is it that God said in the Old Testament? All of these things we need to know and to hide them in our hearts so that when the time comes, we know what to do so that we can make a good play. Second thing we need to do, we need to study our opponents. Not our opponents, but those who we're trying to win over. As they go into the game, they're looking at film. They're watching what the other side does. They're going to know that when we do this, they're going to do that. When we try to do this play, this is what they do. And so we need to study and to know the people that we love, to know the people that we're trying to convince to follow the Lord. We need to know them. And for Christians, a lot of time this is hard, because you might have someone that you love that has a certain belief that we don't believe in. Maybe it's another religion. Maybe it's just atheism. And it's hard for us to even look at what they believe, because we don't even want to go there. Maybe we're afraid that we might find something that we don't like or something that... But if we really love these people, we have to find out what it is that makes them tick. What is it that makes them... What is it that they believe that is keeping them from believing in God? So we have to be willing to go and to research and to look and to see what it is that those people believe. Because how can we speak to them if we don't know what they believe in the first place? You see, a lot of people, they have a something built up with it. They already believe in something, so there's no room for our God. If what they believe in answers the questions that they seek, then they already believe and they don't have room for what we have to say. In other words, it's trying to fill up something that's already filled up. But if we can learn what it is that they believe and what it is that they study, then we can start to question them a little bit. You see, a lot of times that's what happens to Christians. Has anybody ever asked you a hard question? They'll say, well, if you're a Christian, then why did this happen? Has anybody ever, if you're a Christian, then explain this to me. And a lot of times what's happening is we're always on defense. We're always answering their tough questions. But if you learn what it is that they know, then hey, what about this? Why do you believe that? And how can this be so? And if that happened, then how can this happen? And if you start to get them to question, then what might happen is their belief and whatever it is, they might start to doubt it. And then that might start to fall apart one day. And then when that falls apart, then they might be looking for what it is that you've been telling them about for so long. I believe that. I believe that we need to find out what it is that they believe. And then ask them, question them about those things. So that they have to answer it themselves. What you'll find a lot of times is people don't know what they believe. They just believe it because somebody told them. Or they believe it because they really like this celebrity, or they like and he believes it, or they, you know, one of those types of things. But if you start to ask them why they believe what they believe and they can't answer it, then you know, that gets them to start to think a little bit. So we need to study the plays of those that we love. Third thing we can do is be unpredictable. Be unpredictable. Because when you're unpredictable, it's hard for them to know what you're trying to do. And when you're playing football, when you're, you know, in the Super Bowl, you want to be unpredictable because you want to catch them off guard. One thing we can do as Christians is that we can be unpredictable. If they know that you always say the same thing to them, don't say it. Don't say it. If they know that you're always gonna go the same route with them, maybe one day just show up and help them out and don't say anything that you would normally say about God. You know, maybe just do it and just not do what they think you're gonna do. They'll start wondering, why doesn't he do that anymore? Well, why doesn't he do that? You know, just kind of be unpredictable with them and not go down the road that they think you want to go. Number four, do no harm. Do no harm. Don't try to destroy people, because the Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities of darkness. So we're not fighting people. We're trying to win people. So don't try to destroy people, because that's not what the goal is. The goal is not to destroy those that are out there. The goal is to win them over. And so, above all things, we need to make sure that we do no harm to them, that we aren't destroying them. Number five, we need to love them. We need to love these people. No matter what they say to you or what they do to you, no matter how bad they treat you or how ugly they get when you're arguing or anything like that, we need to love them. And to have compassion for them. We need to realize that the reason they are the way they are is not because of them, but it's because of a greater power that has power over them. What was it when Peter went and he said something to Jesus, and Jesus said what? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." That's because he was looking at Peter in that moment, and he wasn't blaming Peter for what Peter was saying, but he knew that there was something greater behind it, something that was evil behind it, and he was saying, "Get behind me, Satan," because he knew that it was Satan that was the adversary and not Peter himself. And so we need to make sure that we love those who would use us, love those who would harm us, love those who would do these things, because they're not the enemy. They're the ones we're trying to convert. Satan is the enemy. We need to love them. And sixth, and maybe the last thing we need to know, is to fear not. To fear not. We need to play this game and go this route, knowing that God is in control, knowing that he has already won the great battle that we are fighting. We're fighting in a battle that's already been won. And yet sometimes we get afraid and say, "Oh, I don't know what's going to happen." Yeah, we know what's going to happen. We know what's already happened. Jesus Christ, when he resurrected from the grave, he struck a fatal blow to Satan. He struck a fatal blow because they were fighting over us. They were fighting over men. They were men and women. They were fighting over who's going to do what. And Jesus Christ, when he came and when he lived a perfect life and died willingly on the cross, and when he resurrected, he made a way that we could choose him and that Satan couldn't do anything about. And so he won the battle. Jesus Christ won the battle, the victory over death, hell, and the grave. Was won that day. And so we know how this thing ends. We know how it ends for us that believe in the Lord. So when you follow him, when you're a Christian, you've already won the battle. And we need to remind Satan that he's lost. But we need to fear not, because we have already won. We've already had the victory in our hands. So when we're fighting for people, when we're trying to convert people, we don't need to be afraid, because there's nothing to be afraid of. We have won the great battle. So the reason I'm saying all this tonight is because sometimes it's not clear. Sometimes we get caught up in disputes with people. We get caught up in things and arguments with people. We get caught up in distractions with people. And we're not remembering that it's not them that we're fighting, but it's what's beyond them that's making them do these things. We forget that we are victorious in the things that we believe. And so sometimes we get down about those battles because we get defeated, and we shouldn't get defeated. Sometimes we do harm when we shouldn't do harm. Sometimes we drive people away when we should be bringing them in. And so it's good to take a step back and see what's really going on here. It's not really them that I'm fighting. They're not my real enemy. But Satan is my real enemy. What is it that he's trying to do to them? How can I set them free from what he has them doing? Because there are people that are in bondage. They're in bondage to their sin. And the reason they act the way they do is because Satan has convinced them that is the way to be. Whatever their sin may be, whatever their thing may be, Satan has convinced them that is the way. The same way he convinced Adam and Eve, "Ye shall not surely die." The same way he convinced them, the same way he convinced Judas with that 30 pieces of silver, the same way he convinced all these people, the same way he convinced Caiaphas, the high priest, that maybe he was defending God, the same way that he convinced Saul that he was doing a good thing by persecuting Christians. He has fooled all those people, and he still fools us today. And so it's not Saul that we're fighting against, but it's the one who was telling him these things. It's not, it's not Judas that we're fighting against. It's Satan that's telling him these things. These people are just in bondage. And so we need to do what we can to set them free. But that means that we have to be on our game. That means we have to be doing what we need to be doing. We have to know God's word. We have to make sure that we love them when nobody else would love them. That's one of the things that convinces people about Christians, is that when we show them a certain love that the world wouldn't show them, when we have a compassion about us that the world wouldn't have. It's not always about what you know. You could be the most knowledgeable Christian and still miss the mark because you don't have love for that person. You could know every word of this and still not be effective at winning people over because you don't have love in your heart. And so it takes more than just that. There are certain things that we can do to show people that we love them. When we treat people just like regular people, when we help them out when they need to be helped, and they know that we're Christians, they understand that we're doing that because that's what we believe. When we show up in their hour of need and we just give them what they need, maybe they just need a shoulder. Maybe they just need somebody to talk to. They know that we're doing that because God has showed that to us. And so they know that we're treating them the way that a Christian is to be treated. Sometimes people don't like to be told certain things that they've already been told over and over because they just know that you're going to say it. But sometimes if they figure it out on their own, then it means a lot more, because somebody's not trying to trick them, or somebody's not trying to do that. But they see it on their own and they say, "Oh, I want what they have. I want the peace that they have." The way that we handle certain situations in our own life, when death comes our way and we react like a Christian would and not the world would, then they see that in us. When when a conflict comes our way and we react the way that Jesus would react instead of the way that the world reacts, they see that and they understand that. When we deal with things the way that the Bible teaches us to deal with things instead of the way the world deals with it, that's why I talk about being unpredictable, then they see that and they know that something is different within us. And if we're not happy, then they can see that we're not happy. And if we don't have peace, then they can see that we don't have peace. And so I guess what I'm saying is that it's more than just saying things, but it's about how we live our life. And people can see that, and people will be drawn to that. As we get a song of invitation, I know that was kind of a lot to kind of go through, but what I want to say is this, is that there is a great battle going on. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And it's not about all these little things, categories that we put it. It all boils down to what's right and what's wrong, what's godly and what's from Satan. And then there are those in the middle. There are those that we're trying to win, those in the multitudes of decision. And so they've heard the same things we've heard. A lot of them have read the same things we've read. But it's up to us as Christians to do the things that we need to do so that they can see God through us. That's what the Bible means when it says that we need to magnify Him. They need to see God through us. And so we all have those people that we're trying to win over. Don't hurt them. Don't hurt them. Just love them. And show them that you care. And be ready for their questions. Sometimes we need to just let them ask us things and then they understand. Do some research about them. Find out what it is that they believe and gently start asking them some questions. Not attacking them, but just ask them some questions. Why is it that you believe that? What makes you think that? You know, why is that so important? There are all kinds of things that we can do, but the main thing that we can do, and that's what Paul told us, is to love them, to have love for them. When we became saved, we should have a spirit to love people the way that God loves us and to reach people the way that Jesus reached us. And if we aren't reflecting that, then we can't reflect the other part, which is to love God with all our heart. They go hand in hand. You can't love God and do all these things that God says to do and then kick your brother. It doesn't work like that. We need to love them. We need to love God. We need to show them what He would do. And we can win some people over. And there's one thing I didn't mention that means everything. We need to pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God would convict their heart. Pray that we could do the things that He would have us to do. There are so many good people that just aren't turning to God. And they're worth saving. Every person is worth saving. That's why we do what we do. Every person is worth it. The guy that was naked and that was chained up was worth saving. Everybody else had given up on him, and Jesus walked by and He said, "That man right there is worth saving." And everybody else said, "He's beyond everything we can do." But not Jesus. Jesus said, "That guy deserves to be saved." And at the end of the day, he was clothed and sitting in his right mind because he was valuable. He was valuable. And we have a lot of people like that that have turned everybody off. But when the world turns away from them and they're all by themselves, that's when we need to show up and do our homework on them and pray about it and try to reach them. As we get a song of invitation, if you have a need, you come tonight, seek His face. Try to think of some people in your mind. When was the last time you tried to reach out to certain people? maybe think about your approach a little bit differently. Maybe think about what you can do. I know I'm talking a lot, but let me just say this, because I've tried this before. I've gone to help somebody, but my real intention was to preach to them, and that's good. But people know that sometimes. And they know that you're there because you're going to say a certain thing to them. Maybe we can just show up and just help them. I'm talking about just things that I've done. And people know when you're trying to do certain things. And we need to pray for them. And we need to show them God's love. I'm not saying not witness to them, but just be a little bit unpredictable every now and then. And pray for them and lift them up and be a little unconventional in the way that we reach them. But always doing things in the way that God would have us do. So we get a song of invitation.
Page 102. Thy